Good morning to you all, both here and at home. I do hope we can enjoy pausing from a busy week to spend time in worship and praise, of learning more about our loving Father through his inspired word and humbling ourselves before him in prayer. I look forward to learning more about our sanctification through Christ as we continue this morning in Romans 13. A couple of words of scripture to start with today. In Revelation, we're reminded that you are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honour and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. And in Joel, return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. We're going to begin our service today. We're going to be standing about three or four times during the service today. Now, please, if it's too difficult for you to do that, please remain seated. All the words will be up on the screen. I think even seated, you'll still see them. We're going to open today with the Lord is my shepherd, Psalm 23. So if you'd like to stand and join with me. The Lord is my shepherd, therefore can I lack nothing. He will make me lie down in green pastures and lead me beside still waters. He will refresh my soul and guide me in right pathways for his name's sake. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff comfort me. You spread a table before me in the face of those who trouble me. You have anointed my head with oil, and my cup will be full. Surely your goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Remain standing because I've introduced today a doxology which was in Romans 11, if you recall reading that a couple of weeks ago. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counsellor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay them? For from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Please take a seat. We have come together to meet with God and to take our part in the building of his church. Christ himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds we have been healed. Let us acknowledge our failure to serve him as he deserves and return to the Lord with repentance and faith, praying together, Heavenly Father, you have loved us with an everlasting love, but we have often gone our own way and rejected your will for our lives. We are sorry for our sins and turn away from them. For the sake of your Son who died for us, forgive us, cleanse us and change us. By your Holy Spirit, enable us to live for you and to please you in every way. For the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is God's love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. God therefore forgives you in Jesus Christ, who shed his blood for us. Amen. Amen. Give praise to the Lord, call on his name, make known among the nations what he has done. We're about to hear from his word this morning, but I'll just introduce with a bit of prayer before Stuart comes up to share that with us. Heavenly Father, give us faith to receive your word, understanding to know what it means, and the will to put it into practice, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. As Diane mentioned, we're continuing on with Romans today. We've reached chapter 13 and we'll be doing verses 1 through to 14. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear for the one in authority? Then do what is right, and you will be commended. For the one in authority is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for rulers do not bear the sword for no reason. They are God's servants, agents of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also as a matter of conscience. This is also why you pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. Give to everyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, then pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honour, then honour. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another, for whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. The commandments: you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and whatever other command there may be are summed up in this one command: love your neighbour as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbour. Therefore, love is the fulfilment of the law. And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armour of light. Let us behave decently, as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand, we're going to affirm our faith together. Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Amen. Please be seated.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to see you, and also those listening in. It's good to be known, to be heard by you. The Lord be with you. So if you can just turn around to the people nearby you or at home, if you're living with somebody at the time, just say good morning, welcome to church. If your elbow can reach across, you can possibly elbow touch or foot touch. At the end of church today, please remain and continue the fellowship together. If you decide to stay in the building here, then just to stay where you are seated for a while, or just to go straight through into the preschool playground. and meet and mingle out there, keeping our social distancing. It's good to be with you, and for those who are visiting or returning back, it's good to see you all again. We're continuing our sermon series through the book of Romans, and again, well done. This has been a long plough, a long climb, and we're coming almost to the end of it all, but thank you for persevering. And today we're thinking about what it means to live the right life in our community. In particular, thinking about those whom God has established as authorities, governing authorities over us. So I'm going to pray now again and just ask God to help me to teach his word correctly and for us to experience his spirit guiding us into truth as we read his word. If you have a Bible nearby, please open it up to Romans chapter 13 or on your iPads or phones. The Bible study questions are in the bulletin or on the been emailed to you. The sermon outline is a good summary of the sermon, and the Bible study questions go deeply into this passage and promote much thought and may answer some of those questions that you might have as a result of our passage today that we're looking at. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, as Stuart has prayed, and we thank you and read to us. We thank you, Father God, that you speak to us through your word as your spirit guides us. Please help me now again to teach your word correctly, and may we experience your spirit guiding us into truth and applying it to our lives. We ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Live the right life in your community. Romans chapter 13, and that's what we're looking at today. It's part of, as Diane mentioned at the beginning of this, the teaching time together, or our service of meeting together, of the sanctification process, being made more and more like Jesus. After chapter 11, Paul has been talking about what it means to be right with God. And now from 12 through to 16, he's thinking that now right with God, this is how we live in view of God's mercy as people clothed in Christ, made holy and pleasing in his sight. If you happen to hear a dog barking in the background, that is our new addition to our family, Nessie. And Rosemary may like to go out there a little bit later on and just see if we can put her, not to sleep, but a little bit quieter in the background. Well, over the last couple of weeks, the world has been preoccupied with the US elections. We couldn't escape, and we still can't really, hearing about the two major candidates in the election. The last time I think we voted here in Australia was about a year and a half ago, I think. It's almost 2 years ago. And so being new in the area, I surfed the web for information about each of the candidates, their policies, their personalities, and if shared, their personal beliefs. And I think it's a good practice, despite whatever side of politics we may align with, for everyone to check out, so to speak, the form guide before voting. And once we've voted, thankfully, here in Australia, usually it doesn't take as long here to discover who was elected and to agree upon it, who will govern us. The result may please us, it may disappoint us, or for some, not bother us at all. But be that as it may, irrespective of who we vote for and whoever was elected, those elected are the people who will govern us for a designated period of time until the next election. It's a puzzling thing, elections and voting. Have you ever thought of it comparing it to salvation? It is like our salvation. We think we've chosen the candidate who is elected, and we have, but like our salvation, behind the scenes, the Bible actually teaches us that God has been at work to bring and allow them to power. For, as we read there in verse 1 of Romans chapter 13, there is no authority that except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. A biblical, evangelical understanding of the sovereignty of God accepts this. So whether an election result pleases us, disappoints us, or not bothers us at all, the governing authorities that are elected and exist have been established by God. And this is true not only of the state, but of all governing authorities. And when the Bible, like here in Romans 13, speaks of governing authorities, I take it has it in mind also those governing authorities we don't have a say in, like your family, for example. In the family, the parents are the governing authorities. Well, we try to be and hope to be. You are the governing authorities. You and I didn't get a vote on who our parents would be. They have been our governing authorities. Our schools and our places of learning are in God's mind as well, where principals, teachers, boards and staff are the governing authorities. Our local police, who pull us over and book us if we exceed the speed limit also, or fine us for fiddling with our mobile phones while we're driving, we have had no say in their appointment, but they are and represent the governing authorities, maintaining and upholding law and order. Where cooperation and safety are required, as we are in these days of COVID-19, there are rules and directives to be obeyed. And where rules and directives are to be obeyed, there are governing authorities. And it's true for the church as well. Knowing that our God is involved in the establishment of governing authorities as he is in the establishment of our salvation ought to give us, as it does for our salvation, reassurance and confidence. Reassurance and confidence that even though we may not understand at times why and how and what might be going on, God is in and aware and working with and through governing authorities for his and our good. A long read through the Old Testament and the story of God's people in Israel will be a good way of seeing the sovereignty of God working through his governing authorities. For they are, as we read in verse 4, God's servants to do you good, working things for our good. But what is the good? What is the good that Paul has in mind here? Verse 4, God avenges for us through them. He punishes the wrongdoers through them. Look there. They are God's servants, agents of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer, to maintain order and law. You may recall back in Romans 12, verse 19 from last week, God said, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay," says the Lord, Romans 12, verse 19. And when you come to think of it, when you think of the context of the church there in Rome at the time, it must have been a very difficult teaching for them to receive. Because it's very likely at the time they received this letter from Paul, or shortly after, Christians were not thought highly of by their governing authorities, by the emperor and his authorities, and by the people of Rome themselves. Maybe mocked, maybe our Lord and our message mocked. The temptation may well have been for Christians to want to take matters into their own hands, to rebel, repay evil with evil. Early Roman road rage and revenge, not pay taxes or revenue, not give respect or honour where it's due, or even clear one's own debts to another. To those who do them wrong, maybe the temptation was to pay them back. But Paul says here, no, no. On the contrary, verse 1, let everyone be subject to the governing authorities. It's no coincidence here that Paul caveats this teaching by sandwiching it in between two passages before and afterwards that actually speak of love, love in action towards others. Verse 8, he says, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. Love your neighbour, he goes on to say, as yourself. Love does no harm to our neighbour. And verses 9 and 10, whatever other command there may be, are summed up in this one command. Love your neighbour as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbour. Therefore, love is the fulfilment of the law. And then back there in chapter 12, verses 9 and 14, before all of this, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Bless those who persecute you. Bless, do not curse. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Verse 14 in chapter 12. Do not take revenge. Leave room for God's wrath, verse 19. In view of God's mercy towards us, it's written, it's mine to avenge, says the Lord. Step back, says the Lord. Verse 20, do not overcome evil by evil, but overcome evil with good. Verse 21, God has established the authorities, the governing authorities, for good. For his good and our good, whether we understand it or not. Our response to the situations with them is what matters to God. As Christians, we have been, we've read up to now, up to chapter 11, we have been made holy and pleasing to God in Christ. We have been made right with God through the gospel, through the work of Christ on our behalf. Clothed in Christ are we now, verse 14. Encouraged to do so all the more. Our response to those who do us wrong, in the context of chapter 13, surrounding chapters and Romans as a whole, is to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. This does not mean to be a doormat or to be a silent voice in the hearing of wrong, but to do what is right, what God requires in the eyes of Him before everyone to see. To do what is right by God in the eyes of everyone whom we come in contact. Remember last week, not conforming to the pattern of this world, we have been made different, but be transformed, allowing by the renewing of our mind, our thinking and our behaviour with the help of God's Holy Spirit and Word to do God's good. Our thinking, our behaviour is to be working with God in bringing about the good. And how many times, I put it to you, if we've actually stepped back and allowed ourselves to see, how many times have you and I discovered that it's proved to be right, that God's will, God's way of responding to wrong being done to us by doing the good, doing what is right in God's sight, has been seen to be good to us, pleasing and perfect in the long run, the right thing to do. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. But should we choose to take matters into our own hands, to bypass the governing authorities, like all, we are warned. Verse 2 and following. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from the fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and you will be commended. For the one in authority is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for rulers do not bear the sword for no reason. They are God's servants, agents of wrath, to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, recognize them, not only because of possible punishment, but also as a matter of conscience. God's people, you and me, and you listening in who call Jesus their Lord, we are God's people. And we have always been to be a blessing to those around about us, to do good. Ultimately, by pointing people to Jesus and the gospel. We want to be like Christ to them. Therefore, we should not be surprised if it takes trust in God. Even when we go to our cross, it's sacrificial, doing what is right by the other for the glory of God. How we respond to those who do us wrong, to the governing authorities, and how we behave in our communities, it matters to God. The scriptures remind us of this. Paul is reminding us of this. If wronged, don't take matters into your own hands. Leave it to the governing authorities. Be subject to them. Set a good example in word and deed in your community. Overcome evil with good. Love your neighbour as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbour. And all the more there, Paul says, as we expect the one who is over all, with all authority, was coming soon. We don't know when he's coming, but he is the ultimate authority, and he will triumph completely and totally on that return, remembering this fact. And the people are watching us. What a privilege it is to live in this country, Australia. And I think those who have come to live in this country from overseas, you must realise that all the more than we who have been born in this country or have people in this country over many, many centuries and thousands of years. What a privilege it is to live in this country, Australia, and to live in it as Christians. And with that, what a responsibility that comes with that. May the mind of Christ our Saviour live in us from day to day, by his love and power controlling all we do and say. Let's listen into this favourite hymn that's sung to us, and may it motivate us to prayer and to action.
May the mind of Christ my Saviour live in me from day to day, by his love and power controlling all I do and say, all I do and say. in my heart from hour to hour, so that all may see I triumph only through His power, only through His power. May the peace of God, my Father, rule my
be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Forgive us our sins. Daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. I'm going to invite Fiona up to lead us through further prayers.
O God, the Holy Spirit, that which we do not know, please teach us. Keep each one of us a humble disciple in the school of Christ, learning daily there what each of us are in ourselves, a fallen, sinful creature, justly deserving everlasting destruction. Oh, let us never lose sight of our need of a Saviour. Help us never forget that apart from Him we are nothing and we can do nothing. Open our understanding to know the Holy Scriptures. Please reveal to our souls the counsels and works of the Blessed Trinity. Instill into our dark mind the saving knowledge of Jesus. Make us acquainted with His covenant undertakings and His perfect fulfillment of them, that by resting on His finished work, we may find the Father's love in the Son, His Father, our Father, and that we may be brought through Thy influence to have fellowship with the Three in One. Please lead us into all truth, Thou Spirit of wisdom and revelation, that we may know the things that belong to peace, and through you be made anew. Please make practical upon our hearts the Father's love as you have revealed it in the Scriptures. Apply to our souls the blood of Christ effectually, continually, and help us to believe with conscience comforted that it cleanseth from all sin. Lead us to grow in faith that we may at all times have freedom to come to a reconciled Father and may be able to maintain peace with him against doubts, fears, corruptions, and temptations. Holy Spirit, your office is to teach us to draw near to Christ with a pure heart, steadfastly persuaded of his love in the full assurance of faith. Help us to never falter in this way. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Loving Father, help us to remember those who live in isolated and remote parts of Australia. Please strengthen and encourage all whose ministries are supported by the Bush Church Aid Society. Please refresh them in times of discouragement and loneliness, and call others to stand with them in the task of making Christ known. Grant that through the ministry of word and sacrament, through caring service and by supporting young people, that the message of your redeeming love may be proclaimed and accepted by the people of our land. We pray especially, loving Father, for Daniel and Rebecca, Pharisee in Kununurra. Thank you for them moving their family there to serve you. Lord, you know that's a transient population, and you know the challenges of having people constantly change in the church. We pray, Father, that you would help them remain single-focused on Christ. We pray that you would grow the youth in their church to maturity in Christ. And we pray that each of their girls, Rachel, Jessica, and Emily, would grow to love Christ and to always be a part of his family. And we pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Loving God, you know the struggles it is to live in society, and it is only by the help of your Spirit and the work of your Spirit that you can bring us together as one, reconciled with you and with each other. We praise you for making us in your likeness, for giving us your Son, Jesus Christ, who has forgiven us for all our sins. Please, Lord, continue to bring us together as one, different in culture, but given new life in Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, to live and love together as your body, your church, your people. Please, week by week, continue to bring us together as one, reconciled, healed, forgiven, sharing you with others as you have called us to do. In Jesus Christ, let us be together as one, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God of the nations, whose sovereign rule brings justice and peace, please have mercy on our broken and divided world. Shed abroad your peace in the hearts of all, and banish from them the spirit that makes for war, that all races and people may learn to live as members of one family and in obedience to your law through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Loving Father, we thank you that you have placed over us a Christian Prime Minister who humbly seeks to sit under your word and guide this nation. And we thank you, Lord, for Scott Morrison. We thank you for Gladys Berejiklian and for all who hold office in this land. We long that their decisions would be based on wise counsel so that peace and welfare, truth and justice may prevail among us and make us a blessing to other nations through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Loving God, we pray for your church. We pray, Father, for those churches where there are divisions and struggles. We pray that you would bind Satan. We pray that you would build up the body of Christ. We pray, Father, that you would bless our bishops, clergy, and congregations. Please, Lord, pour down upon them the continual dew of your blessing, that they may truly please you. Grant this for the honour of Jesus Christ, our advocate and mediator. Amen. Finally, Father, a COVID prayer for Christians all around your world. May we test positive for our faith. May we socially distance ourselves from doubt and isolate ourselves from fear. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'll conclude with the set prayer for today. Father in heaven, keep your household, the church, steadfast in faith and love, that through your protection it may be free from all adversities and may devoutly serve you in good works to the glory of your name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Okay, show of hands if you're brave. Hand up if you read the news and notes and have a look at all the notices. Okay. Don't really mean to make you feel bad, but it is an important communication tool that we have here, so I'm not going to actually read through them all, but I just want to implore you to actually look at it each week, even if you don't download it. Have a quick read through, because it keeps you in view of what we're doing in our church. The opportunities that are available for you to serve others and each other, and reminds you of things that are going on in the world that you may have not been aware of. And there's also occasionally little trinkets in there of interest. So I implore you to give a good look at it, read it, and follow up on anything that you feel you can. So. Okay, now, Trevor, this morning, his picture of service by our governing authorities and our responsibility, I just had an image emerge while I was pondering on that of Jesus, the way he lived, and how we've heard of him in those the four Gospels, how he walked on the earth and how he lived peacefully according to the law. Nobody could find fault with him. And that's our goal, isn't it? So the only way we can do that is to put on the coat of Jesus, be Jesus. So I pray that we can all work at doing that in the weeks and months and years ahead. But it's an encouragement, but it's also a challenge. So I think we'll be all looking to that. We're going to close the service today, and I'll give us a small prayer. Lord God, we rejoice in your greatness and power, your patience and love, your mercy and justice. Enable us by your Spirit to honour you in our thoughts, words and actions, and to serve you in every aspect of our lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen. If you'd like to share in conversation with each other, you can do so where you are now, or lovely day out in the yard. There's quite a bit of shade out there, so remember that 1.5 metre distance. Stay safe. See you next week.